Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an Hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today you have an opportunity to find out about some different tools to achieve those goals and levels of success that you really want to have in your life. My guest today, Noah St. John, has put together a book, The Secret Code of Success. Wonder what that could be. Well, we're going to find out. Noah is on the air with us. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Donna. Great to be here with you today.
Well, it's a delight having you. Now, you're the founder and CEO of SuccessClinic.com, which is an international training, success training company. You also have your own television show, Wealthy Fun TV, and you have ended up traveling around the world teaching people how to get rid of what you call head trash. And you've authored other books. This book, The Secret Code of Success, give us a little background about how it evolved for you. What was it that made you put pen to paper, or should I say fingers to keyboard, so that this would come to life?
Well, I've always been fascinated by human behavior and especially by success and why some people have it and some don't. I grew up poor in a very, low middle class family in Kennebunkport, Maine. And so I didn't have any contacts. I didn't have any, business skills even. And so I started going through life in my teens and 20s and, I noticed that there were people who were succeeding and they didn't seem to be even working that hard. And I was working really hard, and I was in a bunch of dead-end jobs that I really didn't like. And so I said, gee, what's the difference here? What's going on? Because I had good grades in school, and, I was labeled gifted and talented and all these things, and yet it just wasn't coming together. So I started studying all these success books and going to seminars and listening to tapes and doing all the things that, most people do. And it still didn't work. And I said, my gosh, either I'm just really dumb or there's something missing here. As I was going through life, I realized that there were a lot of people just like me who were really traveling down the road of life with one foot on the brake and one foot on the gas. Because every time I'd start to succeed a little, I noticed that I'd sabotage myself. And I said, boy, that's annoying too. And so one night I was at a seminar, and I had this epiphany, just this realization, and everything made sense for the first time. And I was at a seminar on eating disorders, and I just happened to find myself there, but I didn't have an eating disorder. But I knew a lot of people who did, so I went and, just to learn more about it. And I realized as the speaker was talking that I wasn't starving myself of food, I was starving myself of success, and that I had just discovered something that no one had ever talked about before. And I knew that because I'd read all the books on the subject. And so I went home and I decided to write a book, and I wrote my first book, which was called Permission to Succeed. And then I started teaching my friends about it, and they started telling their friends, and because they just got amazing results, and I started to hear from people around the world. And that's really how the whole thing started.
You make a number of comments in your book that when I was going through it, I thought that were quite interesting. One is that when we're beating ourselves up for not being able to accomplish, let's say, a goal or doing a certain job, you say when you've been given a tool that is completely wrong for the job you're trying to do, you're not going to be able to have success. It's like trying to take a screwdriver to get up a sheet of concrete instead of using a jackhammer. And when you are in that mode, the head trash you talk about, I know that there are some friends and myself, we get together and we'll say, wow, what is it with us? We get on these treadmills mentally and we go yada, 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 yada. And my goodness, it's like watching, a movie that was made in 1875. I don't think they did it very well then, but it's really bad. And mm-hmm. I catch myself, and I just have to pull myself up. So that's, I'm sure my audience can really relate to this, like, oh, my goodness, I was around Uncle Fred, and he keeps saying these things, and I'm so sick of this. All right, so we want to know why we can never solve a why-to problem with a how-to solution. And how many billions of dollars is spent annually on self-help books?
Well, the best estimates that I could find are $11 billion, but frankly, I've seen estimates as high as $46 billion that is spent on self-improvement or self-help, because you can include diet pills and exercise programs, DVDs. I mean, there's a lot of things that you could put in the category of self-help or personal and professional development. And think about the hundreds of billions that corporations are spending on this, training, development, and all of these things to, you know, help people try to stay motivated, especially in these tough economic times. But so the question is this, with all of this time and money and energy that we're all spending, you'd think we'd all be happy and rich and skinny. So why isn't that the case? Well, there must be something else. Yeah, well, there's something else going on in the human being. And so it's very simple, actually. In traditional success literature, we have been taught the how-tos of success. Now, that makes logical sense, right? Because if you want to do something like succeed, which we all do, well, then all you need to know is how to do it, and then you do it, right? Well, that makes logical sense, but last time I checked, human beings aren't logical, right? Just ask Mr. Spock from Star Trek, if you forget.
So, my husband says that about me.
Well, I'm the same way, so, you know. Anyway, so that's so there's something else going on in the human organism that nobody's ever really talked about, and that's this. We have what I call the why-tos and the why-not-tos and the conscious and the subconscious. So just picture it like this. Picture, on one hand, you have a scale, or like a Libra scale. You have the why-tos and why-not-tos, which is your perceived benefit and your perceived cost of doing anything. Then you have your conscious and subconscious, which is the mind. It's like an iceberg. About 5% or less is actually conscious mind. And this is all science, by the way, and this has been shown in study after study. About 90 to 95% of our behaviors and actions and thoughts are subconscious. So when you put the why-tos and why-not-tos with the conscious and the subconscious, it becomes very simple. The why-tos of success exist on the conscious level. That means everyone wants to succeed. Why do you think we're spending these billions of dollars? We want more money, more time. We want to lose weight. We want better relationships. We want our own island in the Caribbean, whatever success means. But what happens is, what nobody's talked about, is the why-not-tos of success. That means, just like you were describing with your friends, the perceived cost of actually allowing yourself to succeed. And when I talk to my audiences or my coaching students about this, I say, what is your why-not-to of success? And they kind of think about it for a moment, because no one's ever asked them that, and they say, well, it's going to take too much time. I don't want the extra responsibility. What if my husband's jealous of me? What if people laugh at me? What if my friends are jealous of me? See, we have all these subconscious why not tos.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing, is we've been fighting the 95 with the 5. Which one do you think is going to win?
Right.
And
that's
so that's why.
Yeah, that subconscious
exactly.
Is real. Oh, sneaky, sneaky, sneaky.
Well, the problem is not that it's there. The problem is that you can't see it. You can't get to it. Just like an iceberg, it's hidden. Imagine if the room you're sitting in, or let's say you're driving or something, and all of a sudden all the light, the visible light, disappeared. It was completely dark. And then, let's say, in your living room, and I asked you to rearrange the furniture, how successful are you going to be? Not very, but does that mean you can't rearrange furniture, that you're incapable? Of course not. You're perfectly capable when you can see what the heck you're doing. So that's why when people learn the secret code of success, Donna, that's why we've seen so many incredible results, like people doubling, tripling, quintupling their income in a matter of months. Not because I showed them how to make millions of dollars. I just showed them how to get their foot off the brake.
The foot off the brake. Now, that's a very good visual. And you have a quote in your book where you said, the quality of your life depends on just two things, the quality of your communication with the world inside yourself and the quality of the communication with the world outside yourself. And let's talk about self-esteem, why one will not believe in themselves. I had a conversation just yesterday with some people, and I had to reach a point when I was in the counseling session where I told them to just shut up because they were verbally sabotaging themselves. And I don't do that. I mean, I just don't do that. But I sat there and I said, shut up. And they just kept going on and on and on. And I said, shut up. And finally it's like, oh. And then it's like, Donna never says anything like this to anybody. But I got their attention. And they were down. They were talking down about themselves so badly that I had to get that intense and to make them consciously aware of what they were doing. Because seriously, they were not aware of what they were doing.
Right. Absolutely. Well, this is what I say all the time, Donna. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, wow, this looks like a great day. I think I'll hold myself back from success today. You know, I'm gonna buy this book so I can sabotage myself better. You know, nobody does that because why? These, why not to the success I'm describing? They exist on the subconscious level. You don't know why you're doing it. You don't even really know that you're doing it. But it doesn't matter. That iceberg is there anyway, whether you see it or not. It's there. And so what happens is you're absolutely right. We have what I call a negative reflection. See, all of us, that's what causes your head trash. If you think about, like, the last time you went to, like, a carnival and you went into a fun house. Remember those fun houses and they have fun house mirrors?
Yes, I
hate
those mirrors.
Right, right. Because what do? They distort you. But imagine if that was the only mirror you had ever seen yourself in. That you had never actually seen yourself in an accurate mirror. What if you grew up in a world of funhouse mirrors? What would you be forced to believe about yourself? The irony is that's what you would be forced to believe about you, even though it was totally inaccurate. See, the irony is you can't see your own eye color. So, I mean, go ahead and try it. Get motivated. I don't care how motivated or smart or funny or how much money you spend. You can't see your own eyes from within yourself. You need a reflective substance like a mirror, and that's actually, step two of the secret code of success is what I call loving mirrors. That what I noticed about the naturals of success, these people who just naturally allow themselves to succeed, every one of them had somebody who believed in them first. And this is another part of my teaching that flips traditional success literature right on its head, because what the gurus have been telling us for years is the key to success is you got to believe in yourself. Right? How many times have you heard that? You got to believe in yourself. Have you ever noticed something?
Oh,
they never tell you how to do that. They never tell you how to do that. They just say you have to do it. It's kind of like saying, I want a house, and they say, okay, go get one. Well, what do you want me to do? You know, so, right, the code is the only teaching on the market that actually shows you the process of how to believe in yourself. There is actually a method, but no one's ever taught it before. And the irony is the first step is someone has to believe in you first. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but just like a mirror, and you can't, you need a mirror to see your own eye color, you don't get your own value. That's why that person you were just describing, they were completely looking in their negative reflection to see their themselves. And when you are coming through with that loving reflection, they didn't even believe you. That's why they shut it down.
Absolutely true. Give us an example. You have a wonderful story about Bill Walsh and Jerry Rice in your book. Share that story with my audience.
Well, everybody knows that Jerry Rice is the greatest wide receiver in NFL history, but not many people realize that he was actually nicknamed Butterfingers when he first came into the league. So how did Butterfingers become the greatest wide receiver in history? Well, here's what happened. When Jerry Rice came to the NFL, he came from a little town in Mississippi, was drafted in the first round by the San Francisco 49ers. So there he was, thousands of miles from his home. He was very lonely. He felt really alone, and so he couldn't concentrate. He literally just dropped the ball. He just couldn't catch it. And so he was very frustrated, very down on himself. So he actually went to Bill Walsh, his coach, and said, Coach, I got to quit. I'm letting everybody down, and I can't do it. So Bill Walsh, who was a very wise and very smart man, just looked at Jerry Rice and said, son, I'm not going to let you quit. I believe in you, and I know you can do it. Don't worry about anything, and don't worry about what everybody's saying. Just focus and use your God-given abilities, and I know you can do it. So Jerry Rice heard those words from Bill Walsh, and he became the hardest working man in the NFL. He would run drill after drill after drill. They would have to shut the lights out on him at night because he would work so hard. And he, because one man believed in him more than he believed in himself, he transformed himself into the greatest wide receiver in history. So people say, oh, this is touchy-feely, this is, you know, mumbo-jumbo. Listen, if you think football players are touchy-feely, I think a 350-pound linebacker would like to talk to you. So this is very real. This is as practical results, bottom line. I mean, people don't just start doubling and tripling and quintupling their income or losing 20 pounds after they tried every diet or finding the love of their lives after they give up on relationships. These are some of the results that we're seeing every single day with this work. This is not magic and it's not mumbo jumbo. It's absolute pure science and it works every single time. That's why it's a system and that's why it can work for you when you use it.
End of excuses. That is the E of E. I think it is really very significant because so many times it's so easy to get into the blame game. I know I've walked that path, and we have to, if we want to be successful, reach that point where we take personal responsibility for ourselves. But when that negative talk starts whirling around in our head, we seem to go into a shadow mode, and then we hover and we hide. And then the excuse becomes a looming mirage that just absolutely makes us lost. So talk about giving up excuses.
Well, I heard a teacher say one time, you can have excuses or money, but not both, so pick one. And that really hit home with me because I'm like, whoa, man, I got a lot of excuses of why I don't have more money. And, you know, I was raised poor and, you know, my dad didn't teach me this and I don't have the context of that. Da, 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 da. And I had all this story in my head and I was like, okay, well, you want to keep that or do you want money? And I said, well, I kind of like money. So I had to really find a new way to do it. And that's what really that means. And so, you know, look, we all love our excuses, and the irony is, most people will hold on to their excuses rather than actually just let go of those and step forward towards more success, more wealth, more happiness. And it's very simple. It's what I call, see, now most, again, this is another cliche that I overturn, which you've heard a million times, which is your comfort zone. You got to get out of your comfort zone, right? We've heard that a million times. Well, what I share with people, and I just let them see this, is like, okay, let's say you're going down the road of life with one foot on the brake and one foot on the gas. Is that comfortable? And everybody goes, no. In fact, I say, it's decidedly uncomfortable, isn't it? And they go, yeah, it's very uncomfortable. I said, that's right. But what it is familiar. See, it's familiar but not comfortable. So there is no such thing as your comfort zone. You do have a familiar zone. We all have that. And if you look at the root of that word familiar, it's family. In fact, some people say family liar. So we really have to overcome that. And, you know, that's what one of the things that the code helps you do is let go of your excuses and move into a greater life.
There is a word you have called affirmations instead of affirmations. What made you come up with affirmations and what does it mean?
Well, everybody knows if you've ever read a self-help book that the word affirmation means a statement of something that you want to be true. And why do we know this? Because every teacher who's ever written a self-help book has said you got to use affirmations. And it's a statement of something you want to be true, like I am rich. And your brain says, yeah, right. So I was in the shower one morning in April 1997 thinking about this very point of why I've been using these affirmations and they really didn't work. So I started thinking about the fact that the human mind and human thought is actually the process of asking and searching for the answers to questions. So I said, wait a second. Why are we going around making statements that we don't believe when human thought is actually the process of asking questions and searching for the answer? And I couldn't find a good answer to that. And I said, well, wait a minute. So what if we turned the whole thing around and instead of making statements we don't believe, we started asking questions? I said, well, what would that look like? Well, let's see. You've got the statement or affirmation, I am rich. And your brain says, yeah, right. So what would the question be? Why am I so rich? Why am I so rich? Now, if you're listening to this, everybody, I hope, you know, write down that question. Why am I so rich? Now, that might sound really funny to you, but if I were to ask you, why is the sky blue? Do you know what would happen in your brain? You'd start to search for the answer. Well, if you ask a question, an empowering question, why am I so rich? Why am I so happy? Why am I so healthy? Why am I so abundant? You start to search for the answer. Now, I discovered this back in, as I mentioned, 1997, 10 years before the movie The Secret. But now that The Secret is out, they, you know, we all hear about the law of attraction, which means what you focus on grows. And that's very true. But what most people are doing is they're asking lousy questions. Why am I such a loser? Why can't I do anything right? Why am I so fat? Why am I so broke? Why don't I have any money? Well, you formed it. You're asking lousy questions, and what do you get? Lousy answers, and that means a lousy life. So rather than asking disempowering questions that create a life you don't want, now you can, with affirmations, ask empowering questions that create the life that you always wanted.
You talk about the four R's. They are the role in which you're working, two, the results you want to achieve, three, the resources you'll need to do them, and four, the relationships needed to provide any resources you do not have. You talk about doing and delegating. This all goes right in with the four R's. When you put this together, you also had a cute story. You said one of your college professors was a Buddhist monk who said half of life is cleaning. You eat dinner, you get dirty dishes, you clean them. You do it again tomorrow. That is called life. Oh, my goodness. You start reflecting on that when you think of how many millions of dishes our hands have washed. Billions, gazillions. So life is, you're going to have days when you're going to be doing a lot of dishes. Some days you may not have as many as others, but it's still part of life. Even if you use paper plates, you still got to throw them away.
Exactly. Well, you know what's so funny? That's such a great point that you bring up from the book, because what I often say to people is, okay, imagine you had your dishes and you were eating every day, and you know, just like we do, and then you just put them all in the kitchen and then you didn't wash them. What's going to happen after a while? You know, well, they're going to really pile up. Okay, and then what happens if you just turn off the light and you can't see them? Does that mean they're not there? No, they're still there. They're just taking up a lot of room, and you just turn the lights off. So that's unfortunately what's happened with a lot of the, you know, the so-called self-help out there, is that, you know, many people have, I think, taken it or misconstrued it in the wrong way, and just say, just ignore it. Just, you know, pretend it's not there. And pretending something isn't there doesn't make it not so. So I really believe that the code is really, in a sense, a call to action, a call to reality, and a call to a greater reality, and realizing that you are capable of so much more than you think, but it's not magic. You don't just say it, and then it's so. It's not, you just talk about things, and then it becomes true. I mean, I can talk right now about owning, you know, a house in Las Vegas. And do I have one of those? No, but I can talk about it all day. But that doesn't mean I can live there. And so that's what we have to do, is realize that it does take action here on the planet called Earth. Now, if you're on a planet where you don't have to work, I want to go there, because work can be annoying sometimes. But that's where we happen to be, is on the planet Earth.
Now, you say goals. And the reason we don't reach our goals, you say there's three basic thoughts behind that. We're going after something we don't really want. I've been there. I've done that. And I know many of my listeners may even be in that situation right now. Two, the goals are impossible, outdated, or unrealistic. And three, we haven't given ourselves permission to stop setting goals. Wait a minute. You're kicking a goal concept right in its tush. Now, what's going on here?
We have been inundated, as you say, we've been inundated with goal-setting technologies and methodologies over the past several decades. And basically, the gurus have been hitting us on the head saying, you got to set your goals, you got to set your goals. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Yes, human beings are goal-oriented organisms. We see something we want, or we think about it, and we take steps to go after it, whether it's a new car or a new spouse or lunch, you know, sometimes all on the same day. And so, but just because we're goal-oriented doesn't mean that's all we should be. So many people, again, who have taken this to the, I think, the wrong level, is that they become totally guilt-tripped if they stop setting goals, if they ever relax, if they unplug. And so what I teach is about goal-free zones. You have to have every day in your life goal-free zones, times and places in your life where you just stop setting goals and give yourself permission to stop. So this is really, in the does fly in the face of traditional success literature, which just is all about goal setting. And what I teach really is not goal setting, but goal getting. I mean, let's be honest, who wants to set goals? Don't you want to get goals? You want to get what you want. So I don't talk about goal setting, I talk about goal getting.
Good point. You also talk about how we really know what we need to do. What would you say to a person that says, I absolutely hate doing such and such. I love what I'm doing, but there's a particular aspect. I just hate it. I can't stand it. And I can't find anybody else to do the work for me. You say that we know what we need to do if we have a scenario like that. Give us an example.
There are always going to be things that really we don't like. I mean, let's be candid about it. I mean, there are going to be things that drain our energy and some things that fill our energy. So I call that filling your tank versus emptying your tank. And, I mean, I don't think anybody has set it up where every single thing they do every moment is filling their tank. I mean, that would be great, but that's really not so realistic, I think. But at the same time, we want to get there. We want to keep evolving and improving. So what I just teach you is just take out a sheet of paper and draw a line down the middle and say, what fills my tank, what empties my tank? And write down all the activities that you do that fill your tank, that make you feel good, and then the right, you know, what makes you empty your tank. And then notice how much time you're spending each day on each one. Most people are spending 80 to 90% of their time on things that empty their tank. And they're wondering, gee, why am I depressed? Why am I not excited? Why am I hating my job? I don't know. So all we do then is we, you know, using the systems of support that I talk about, you can start to move towards the things that fill your tank. That's what's going to create more true wealth and happiness. I really think that is a more realistic approach.
Coming from I Have, and I had to chuckle with this story because you had gone into a job, and you came into what you called the Holy Land. It was an office supply cabinet. And you said when the doors opened, you actually heard angels singing.
Oh, yeah.
And you said it, and I'm just quoting from your book, it was approximately the size of Montana. It was filled with every office supply you could think of. You think it was actually the original Staples location. And someone said to you, help yourself to whatever you need. Yeah. And I went through this story and, oh boy, tell us the rest of the story. I thought it was cute.
Well, just the backstory briefly is that I was working as a temp in Los Angeles, and I would just take things. I would, you know, I'd be stealing office supplies, you know, not the big, but, you know, basically whatever would fit my little duffel bag, you know, pens and Post-its and whatever. And I was telling myself in my head, well, I deserve this because, you know, I'm working for so little, and this is a big company, and they have so much. So I had actually made it in my head that I deserve this. And then I noticed I kept losing jobs and losing jobs and losing jobs, even though they loved me and said, oh, yeah, we definitely want to hire you. And then they wouldn't. I said, what's going on here? And I had just started studying the nature of God and man and how, you know, your universal, what you focus on grows, what we were talking about earlier. And so I realized I was coming from I don't have. My belief was I don't have. So then I was getting, okay, you don't have. And I'm like, well, that's pretty stupid. So I made a determination to stop doing that. So right after I made that determination, the next day I got this job that you described, and I went into office supply heaven, and my boss, I swear I'm not making this up, she literally said, help yourself to whatever you need. And so I'm thinking in my head, man, I'm going to need a bigger duffel bag. But then I said, you know what, Noah, do you want to keep coming from not enough? You want to keep coming from I don't have? And I said, no, I don't. I want to come from I have, even though I really didn't think I had at that time. I didn't feel I did, but I'm going to start it anyway. And I shut the doors, and I did not take anything from that supply cabinet, not even a paper clip. And that's what happened. That's really the step that began my process and my journey, and it was 5 years later that I had that epiphany that I shared with you. And, you know, 6 books later, we've been able to help thousands of people around the world. So I think if I kept coming from I don't have, I really don't think I'd be doing the work I'm doing today.
I want to sort of close out our conversation today with a quote from your book. You said, the final step, the final level of your pyramid that you have in your book means you've not only stopped apologizing for who you are, but you give yourself permission to succeed at the highest level. Noah, you have a website called thesecretcodebook.com. People are going to find all kinds of materials there. You have worksheets. You have all kinds of information that I know that they can benefit from. Your book, The Secret Code of Success, 7 Hidden Steps to More Wealth and Happiness, is definitely a wonderful, wonderful read, and it is thought-provoking, too. So for those of you listening, Noah St. John has been my guest. The Secret Code of Success is the book. The website, secretcodebook.com. I know you're savvy. You're all web savvy, so just go on in, check it out, and I think you'll be very pleased and surprised at what you find. Noah, I want to thank you so very much for being my guest today.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, Donna. Anytime. Love to come back.
Thank you. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more things to share. Don't forget The Secret Code of Success by Noah St. John website, secretcodebook.com. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here is the toll-free worldwide number, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. All I require is your first name or your initial. I'd love to know where you're calling in from. And then let me tell you what I perceive, and of course you're welcome to ask a question about anything that you might be interested in. Again, the toll-free number is 888-815-9756. Also, I want to let those of you in the state of Washington know that in Western Washington, I am going to be appearing at a very special event, a family event, the Dickens Festival, which is being held in downtown Tacoma. And I'm going to be appearing at the King's Bookstore. I'll be there doing mini readings from 12 noon until 4 in the afternoon. And part of the proceeds will be going into a designated charity that the Dickens Festival always chooses. So if you want more information, check out Dickens Festival, Tacoma, Washington, and you'll be able to find everything that you need to know. They have so many wonderful, wonderful events, and I've been delighted that I've been invited back to participate in this wonderful local event. Last year we had snow. I don't know that that's going to happen this year, but, oh, we got lucky. So it really was a magical event, and it will be, again, a magical event this year. And Halloween, oh, yes, yes, yes. Are you seeing more and more pumpkins out on porches? Boy, I am. I was out walking Victor and Kinsey today, and, of course, all of the fall colors are there, but they're beginning to fade because winds have come in. Temps are getting colder and colder, and then the vibrancy of those brilliant crimsons and vermilions are going away, but they're in that last phase, so it's just a joy to see what is remaining in color, as well as the leaves that are still clinging to the trees, and if we get a good wind, they're all going to be gone before we know it, winter is going to be coming on. But Halloween is that event that sort of gives a kickoff to just the beginning cool days of winter. And I have a poem here by Donald Wright that has a wonderful photograph behind it with pumpkins, and they're all carved out in various faces, and they're just all aglow with golden light. And his poem goes, "Pumpkins on the porch steps, eyes all aglow, welcoming trick-or-treaters as they scurry to and fro. Scarecrow with open arms wears a toothy grin, shouting to each passerby, 'Happy Halloween, my friend.'" Yes, we've got people who've got scarecrows up in their yard, and it's just all kinds of stuff. And the imagination. I walked into a bread store the other day, and they had spider webs throughout the store. I mean, we're not talking about little dinky ones. We're talking about gigantic spider webs. And I went to reach for a package of English muffins, and here was this black tarantula that was on the shelf. So it's really a fun holiday, and people are just in the spirit. And before we know it, it's going to be here. So I just thought I would share that poem with you because it's wonderful. And of course, if you're wanting to get some ideas or you really want to have fun with your kids, I found some information that you can, you can go on the web, and since all of you are so savvy about the web, there are fright movies that you can watch online. Can you believe this? I mean, it's just amazing what we're able to do today. Yes, you can get those horror classics like The Night of the Living Dead and The Crawling Hand and on and on and on. Now, where you go is to MyEmbark, that's MyEmbark.com/video, and then there's Hulu.com/channels/horror and suspense. Hulu, Hulu.com/channels/horror and suspense. And spooky stories? Ooh, those are really the best. Oh, I think it's great. Well, there's all kinds of ghosts and witches and monsters. You can go to AmericanFolklore.net/Halloween.html. And if you're concerned about younger children and you don't want them to become too frightened, you can go to apples4theteacher.com/holidays/Halloween/kids-short-stories. Now, it's Apples 4, the number 4. So you have that option, apples4theteacher.com/holidays/Halloween/kids-short-stories. And people, they love to decorate their pets. Dress them up, I guess, is a more appropriate way to say it. And these costumes they come up with are incredible. So you can find out all about the cats and the dogs. For dogs, you go to, here we go, let me see, i-pets.com/dog_costumes.html. And then there's also dogs.about.com/od/fun-photos/ig/Halloween-costumes. I know, it's a mile long, but what can I tell you? This is what they got. Now, if you're a person that loves cats, well, you'll find out about costumes for cats. You can go to cats.about.com/od/cat-pictures.ig/Halloween-cats. Yes, so you can do that one. And if you want to find out about snacks, oh, there's Boo-Koo recipes on the web, and I have one about witch's fingers in my last newsletter, so you can check that out on my website. There's all kinds of games. There's Halloween crossword puzzles, word searches from HalloweenGames101.com. HalloweenGames101.com. And then also you've got Halloween e-cards. You can go to Care 2. That's right. And there are people that just let you send out cards. So there's just absolutely so many wonderful options for the upcoming holiday. And also you have an option if you want to chat with me, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. So many conversations about healthcare. People are so anxious. We hear all kinds of sad stories, negative stories about how the system just isn't working. Well, that's true, and it's time that things change. But I would like to tell you about a physician and his colleagues that decided they, on their own initiative, were going to do things a little bit different. And this is a story that comes from Burnsville, Minnesota. This doctor, his name is Anthony Shobley, and he is a family physician. He said a woman that had been his patient for a number of years was just a wonderful gal, but when she came in for an annual exam, and he just said she needed to have her typical female exam, he said she was so upset. She was just not herself, and he wanted to know what was wrong. Well, she and her husband both lost their jobs. There was no insurance. She had managed to talk her way past the receptionist in front, but she didn't want to tell the receptionist what was going on because she was in the waiting room and everybody would hear it. So she didn't want to say anything to anybody. Now, this doctor has worked in his particular clinic for well over 16 years, and he had seen all kinds of hard times. But he has not seen ever the amount of change that this particular recession has caused. Appointments were being canceled. Treatments that were needed by patients were declined. And he was concerned. He said, I'm a doctor. This is my job. This isn't good. People need help. And he believed preventative exams can lead to far more serious issues. He said it wasn't right that an economic downturn costs people their health. So what he did with this lady, he said, I don't want you to worry. We're going to take care of you. There's no charge for the exam today. I'm really glad you're here. Now, the interesting thing was he said he felt so good when he was able to do that with her. He said he hadn't realized how much watching his patients struggle had really bothered him. And internally, he said, we're going to make a difference. We're going to help some people. So he managed to talk to the other doctors and nurse practitioners in the clinic, and every one of them agreed as a team that the patients would get their annual exams and their screenings regardless of their ability to pay. Now, this is what they did. They called up different labs that they worked with, and they enabled them to donate or lower the price of services. They then kept in touch with their patients and put up posters at the front desk about the offer. Now, people have been responding. And he said, we're very discreet. We're very private with our patients. We've gotten thank you letters. But everyone, the nurses and other doctors and myself, feel good about what we're doing. We are working harder, but we're very happy with what we're doing. He said, we're really doing what we want to do, and that is keep people well and show that we still can care for one another. Many times you'll hear me say on the show, one person makes a difference. This is one doctor who made a difference because he decided that things had to be done differently. This is what it takes. No excuses, no blame game, a decision on what needs to be done. And how you can do it. It makes all the difference in the world. Don't forget, you have just as much power in your life as that doctor does. But how are you going to use it? How are you going to be able to recognize that you have some special magic to contribute to this life. There's nobody else like you on the planet, just you. And you are going to be able to give a gift that will be appreciated by other people. Doesn't mean you're a doormat. It means you give with thoughtfulness and carefulness and with an evaluation and a discrimination of choice. You've got it in you. I know you have. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't forget, you can give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Just give me a call, and I'll be delighted to give you a reading on the air. Okay, let me tell you who's coming on tomorrow. We've got Dr. David Clark. Oh, you're going to like him. He is such a wonderful physician. His book, They Can't Find Anything Wrong, is, wow, the first couple of pages when I got into it, I said, this is a doctor that just about everybody would want to have. He is compassionate, he's thoughtful, and he really has an insight into people and illnesses. So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow, and I know you'll enjoy it. Now, next week, we have got a real fine lineup, Natural Alternatives to Vaccination. I have an attitude about the swine flu shot. I really am not excited about it at all. All the reports that I keep getting are not really positive. Also, that it's creating a very negative effect because it's not really going to address what's there. This is my bias. It's not anybody else's bias. It's my bias. So when I came across this material, I thought, this is something that people should know about. Zoltan Rona is going to be speaking with us, and she's very well informed. So we're going to be talking about that on Monday. Then The Magician's Way, William Whitecloud, we're going to be talking with him, and I'll leave that magical title to tickle your mind skills. And then on Wednesday, we are going to be talking a little bewitching. This is going to be a fun interview. Linda Wilson, or Wisdom, is going to be my guest, and she has 4 books, yes. And if you just like fluff stuff, this is cool. And it's all about a particular witch. Yes. Actually, it's a group of witches. Mm-hmm. And we're going to tell you about these spicy little gals, and it's Hex and High Heels, 50 Ways to Hex Your Lover, Hex Appeal, and Wicked by Any Other Name. It's a lot of fun, and it's just perfect timing for Halloween. And then we're going to be also hearing some music. Have you ever thought of listening to Shakespeare to music? Well, David Duvall is a man that's done exactly that, a very accomplished musician and also director of theaters. And this is a man that's put this together, and I can tell you I've heard it, and it is wonderful. So we're going to be having some music, and then on the 30th, the Friday before Halloween, well, we've got a surprise guest, I think. I'm working on getting it together, so I won't tell you until I find out. But that's the lineup we've got. So I hope you'll tell your friends, and if you have the opportunity, you'll join me. And remember always, you can go to the archives, and you can find out all kinds of good things there that are going to, if you've missed a show and you want to catch up with what's been going on, you have that you can do. You can listen to the archives. And if you are interested in interacting with me one-on-one, all you have to do is give me a call at my office, 800-872-8852. But right now, you can talk to me free, 888-815-9756. Now, I wanted to just give you some little bits of information that have crossed my desk. And it's regarding health. They find that women, when they stop smoking, they show major reductions in C-reactive protein levels and other markers of inflammation that's linked with heart disease. And this is a new study that came out in a journal called Chest. Also, they're discovering that bone meds kill flu viruses. There are two products, Aridia and Reclast, that are used to treat osteoporosis. Apparently, Hong Kong researchers have found that both of these drugs may effectively kill influenza viruses, including the swine and bird varieties. Now, notice they said the word may. And then, if you have a concern about your hearing, it is a real sad statement about our world today that due to the amount of noises that we have going on around us, we can easily lose our hearing. Substantially so, by the time we're in our 50s. So if you want to find out if you are having a problem with hearing, take an online questionnaire from the Better Hearing Institute at hearingcheck.org. That's hearingcheck.org. And also, booster seats. There's questions that are coming up now. How long should kids use booster seats? And that's, of course, after you've taken a child out of the safety seat. They're too big for that. They should be used until the child is tall enough so that the child's knees extend over the back seat at a 90-degree angle. And there's a lot of question coming up regarding the safety of the car seats that are mandatory for children. They find that at a certain age, it's better if they're not in the car seat that they could be put in with a regular seatbelt and be just as safe, if not safer. So there's a lot of things that are coming up in the way of questions regarding that. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Now, if you have a kitty cat and you are really wanting to understand her better, here are a couple of tips that some researchers have come to an agreement on. That when she lets out, a cat lets out a high-pitched baby-like cry mixed with a purr, it's usually the type of communication that tells you that that cat is hungry and wants to be fed immediately. Also, the unique meow is a sign of deep affection for you because the cats, when they tested and did a study, when they used this sound, they only would use it around people that they really cared for. Also, a cat with the tail held high, little flicks at the end, that means that kitty is very, very happy. But if her tail is lashing back and forth, something's bugging her. And if she's at half-mast with that tail, she definitely is relaxed. And with your dog, dogs are so able to read gestures. This is not a surprise to me. Dogs understand as much as human body language as a 2-year-old child. So when you point to a toy, turn your head to see something behind you, or gaze at someone approaching, your Fido buddy gets exactly what you're trying to do. And you know what? The dog's laugh is very much like a regular pant, only longer and louder. And just as we enjoy the sound of laughter, dogs feel happier when they're around other dogs that feel happy too. No big surprise there. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. We'll be right here, same time, same place, tomorrow here on BBSRadio.com, Station 1. Talk to you then. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.